Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, you know, this past Christmas, a good friend, gave me an Instant Pot as a Christmas gift, and I've used it quite a bit, and we're going to be talking today about how they work and why they've become so popular with our guest. Back with us once again, Coco Moranti. Back with us, she's a recipe developer, food blogger. She runs the popular Instant Pot Recipes Facebook page and authors the blog LeftySpoon.com. Her new book is called The Ultimate Instant Pot Cookbook. We'll talk about that book and certainly take your questions. You have some questions about using an electric pressure cooker. You have one. What do you like about it? What don't you like? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Coco Moranti, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Larry. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Maybe just to start, for those who aren't familiar with it, tell us about an electric pressure cooker, what it is and how it differs from a quote-unquote regular pressure cooker.
Sure thing. So the Instant Pot is a programmable electric pressure cooker. So it's something that's going to sit on your countertop rather than on the stovetop. And it, just to get into a little bit of how it's different, it works like a stovetop pressure cooker because it makes use of built-up pressure and heat to cook foods a lot faster than they would in a regular pot or a Dutch oven. But it's a lot more versatile because it has precise temperature and program settings. So you'll push a program button and then you can walk away while your food is cooking. Rather than having to tend to it on the stove, since the program is already set for you and it'll turn off in the specific amount of time that's necessary for it to cook through. And then, let's see, once the cooking program is complete and the food is ready to serve, the pot also has a feature called the keep warm setting. So once the food is done cooking, it switches over to keep warm, and it'll stay ready to serve for up to 10 hours that way, which if you've used a crock pot before, you're familiar with that kind of warming feature and you know how convenient that is. So in that way, the Instant Pot is similar to a crock pot. It'll keep a pot of food warm so you can cook it in the morning or the afternoon, and then it'll still be hot at dinner time. And then beyond just pressure cooking, the Instant Pot does a few other things really well, too. One of my favorite things to use mine for, actually, is making yogurt. So you can culture your own yogurt at home rather than buying it in the store. And it ends up costing, I find, about half as much to make yogurt that way. So you can make it from scratch in your home using whatever milk you prefer. And then if you want, you can even strain it afterwards using cheesecloth or a yogurt strainer to make Greek yogurt if you want.
Jill Nadeau, my producer, loves it for hard-boiling eggs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people find that they use their Instant Pot for basics like that all the time. So you can do hard-boiled eggs or just like a simple batch of beans or steamed vegetables. Those kinds of uses are... Yeah, really popular. Me too, actually.
I tell you what, for the Super Bowl this year, I had 16 people coming to the house, and I loved the Instant Pot for this. I made a chili, and I had a lot of baking to be doing at the same time. And so the big advantage, or one of the big advantages for me, is that everything is done in the pot. So you turn on the saute and you brown the onions and the peppers, and then you bring in the hamburger or whatever it is you're using, if you're using meat, and then everything else. And I made it and it cooked, and then it turned to the keep warm function, and I didn't have to do anything. I worked on my cornbread and my apple galettes, and it was wonderful.
Yeah. It sounds like you had an amazing Super Bowl spread there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The oven was going for about 6 hours straight. But that's one of the reasons I like it so much. I've used it quite a bit for a lot of things. But the fact that you can do it, everything in the pot and not have extra pans.
Yeah, it's great for that. Or like for holiday entertaining, if you want to be making some mashed potatoes or macaroni and cheese or any other side dishes like that while the oven is busy with your big roasts and other things, it's really nice to have, you know, all the burners on the stove available for everything else while you have something going in the Instant Pot.
And then it just stayed warm until it was time to serve. It was wonderful in that way. I made your mac and cheese recipe from your new book and liked it a lot.
Oh, I'm so glad.
A little different twist, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to misspeak about what's in the recipe. It was a little different take on mac and cheese, and it was fun.
Yeah, the one in the Ultimate Instant Pot Cookbook is macaroni and cheese with Gouda and caramelized onions.
Yeah.
There's a basic recipe in my first book, in the Essential Instant Pot Cookbook, and then in the Ultimate, we wanted to do a fun spin and try something new.
So in addition to being able to just sort of forget about it, get things going and forget about it, and then being able to use it, all one pot, everything gets done in that one pot, are there other reasons why it has become so popular?
Interestingly enough, the social media participation aspect of the whole thing is something that really, keeps people interested and helps when, let's say, you have some questions about this brand new appliance. You actually have an amazing resource in Facebook groups and communities that you can join where people are asking and answering questions and sharing recipes and sharing photos of what they made and helping each other troubleshoot. So I do think that social media and blogs have been a huge part of what's made it successful and also what makes it fun to keep using it, because you can share with all of these other people who are enthusiasts also.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I found some folks aren't as happy, they aren't as happy with it because, I could almost do it as fast myself on the stove or what have you. If you have a sort of a fast-paced life, it really can be a help. I have a daughter that I have to pick up after school, and I can, and it's a little bit of a drive, so I can put the roast and the, potatoes or carrots or whatever else I want into the Instant Pot, start it up, and then take off and go and pick her up. And when I come back, it's all done.
Oh, definitely. I think some things do cook faster. Like you could, you can make beans or meats that would normally take a lot of time in about half the time that they take on the stove. But what you're describing is true for a lot of people, that it's more about the convenience of being able to walk away while the food is cooking. So that time isn't time that you're, tending to a pot on the stove or needing to be home to turn the oven off when something is done cooking. So it really does free up your time a lot.
How is your, I have both of your books, but I'll have you describe how's your Ultimate Instant Pot Cookbook different from the Essential one? By the way, the Essential one, I'm not sure who it was, someone gave it the highest rating. I think it was before your new one came out, Epicurious, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's so nice. It's so nice to see people, you know, using and loving these books. And whenever anyone tags me on Instagram, you can, you know, you can always tag me at Coco Maranti, and I'll see what you're making. And that is the best part of writing cookbooks, is having everybody, you know, sharing with me. So fun.
Well, Annie in La Crosse has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Annie.
Hi. Say, I have the Crock-Pot brand of electronic pressure cooker, and I love it. I make soups and stews, and I have cooked vegetables. The only thing that I haven't had a good outcome is with, if I put some kind of a roast in there, it just doesn't cook the way it does if you bake something. So what do I do?
When you say it doesn't cook that way, what is it? Is it the
It seems like it's overcooked, and it's a little more rubbery.
Coco, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say some roasts will cook better than others in the Instant Pot. So I'm not sure exactly what cut of meat you're using, Annie, but I know that, for instance, with pot roast, like a chuck roast has a lot of fat and connective tissue, so that will break down and be really tender in the Instant Pot, whereas something like a bottom round or a pork tenderloin that's a lot more lean can tend to get more tough and be a little bit trickier to cook under pressure. And then one other trick I would say to use is to try making sure that you let the pressure release naturally when you're cooking something like a long cooking roast or other tough piece of meat. For whatever reason, when the pot has a chance to come back down from a rolling boil over a slow period of time, the proteins can tend to relax and become more tender that way.
All right. There we go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Becky emailed to ask how to convert a recipe for an Instant Pot into one for her Fagor Duo stovetop one. She has a pork shoulder she needs to make for tonight. She thinks she might need a bit more water and less cooking time.
Definitely the less cooking time part is accurate. Yeah. So stovetop pressure cookers on their highest pressure setting operate around 15 PSI or pounds per square inch, whereas the Instant Pot tops out at around 11 or 12. So because of that, if you're using a stovetop pressure cooker for an Instant Pot recipe, you'll want to shorten the cooking time by about 15%. And if the pot is a little bit smaller, if it's not a 6-quart size like the Instant Pot, you might be able to get away with using a little bit less liquid.
Ah, okay. I have the 8-quart version.
Oh, yeah. So for that one, you need like at least a cup or more sometimes in order for it to get up to pressure properly.
Yeah, I like it because, for something like when you have 15 or 16 people coming, that extra couple of quarts makes a difference.
Definitely, yeah. And it frees you up to cook like larger pieces of meat, so you can do up to like a whole 6-pound chicken in the 8-quart pot.
Yeah. Coco Maranti, our guest today, we're talking about using your electric pressure cooker with her, and I hope you'll join in. Number to call 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Dave Potratz, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network. Talking about cooking today with an electric pressure cooker with Coco Maranti. She is the author of a couple of books. Her latest is The Ultimate Instant Pot Cookbook. She also does a lot of food blogging, and she runs the popular Instant Pot Recipes Facebook page and authors the blog LeftySpoon.com. So great to have her along. And lots of people online, Coco. So let's go back to the phones and to Robin in Madison. Your turn, Robin. Hi. Robin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, what's on your mind?
Well, I was gifted a 3-quart, the mini Instant Pot, and I have been using it like crazy. My first couple of efforts didn't work because it wouldn't come to pressure, and Instant Pot customer service responded with a link to a page that shows how to convert recipes and then said to me, most of the cookbooks out there are for the 6-quart. So that helped a lot. But I guess I'd like to get some more ideas on how to convert recipes for the mini Instant Pot. And I'll take your response off the air.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
So- hi, Robin. Yes, that's a great question. So the 3-quart mini, you're right. Most of the blog recipes and cookbook recipes are written to work for the 6-quart pot. And 3 quarts is exactly half the size. So you'll find that if you pretty much cut any recipe in half, but keep the cooking times the same, it'll work exactly like it would in the 6-quart pot. You'll just end up with, you know, half the serving. The only times where you'll need to make other adjustments would be for pot-in-pot recipes. So things like a cheesecake where in the 6-quart pot you would need to use a 7-inch accessory, like a 7-inch spring form or push pan. But in the mini pot, something that size wouldn't quite fit. So a 6-inch pan would be what you would use there. And then you might have to adjust the cooking time a bit since the thickness of the batter, the amount of batter in the pan would be different. So it might take a slightly different amount of time for the heat to get all the way through that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me. Thank you very much for that call. Bonnie and Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Bonnie.
I cook a lot for hunters. My husband is a hunter, and I had an Instant Pot in a box for a year, and then finally one day took it out to do a wild turkey breast. And so I find I really like the Instant Pot. It uses a lot of liquid and steam, and it seems to tenderize the meat quite a bit. And the other thing I do is I take it camping. We go out west for bird hunting season, and I cooked last fall for a bunch of hunters, and they all just raved about how the sharp-tailed grouse still had its, you know, integrity and everything, but it still tasted like sharp-tailed grouse. So I think it's a really great tool for preparing wildlife, or wild game, I mean. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that there is a really high learning curve for using an Instant Pot, and that seems really intimidating at first, but if you push through it, I think it's really worth the effort.
Thank you very much for calling. Bonnie, a comment, Coco?
Yeah, well, first of all, your group of hunters is so lucky to have you cooking all of those foods for them, yeah.
You know, one of the things when I first tried it and first started it, I thought, whoa, it's not working because it wasn't making any noise. I turned it on, and it's so quiet.
Yes, yes. And there's about the high learning curve. Yeah, I do agree that it takes some time to get used to how it works. When you first select a program setting, there's a little bit of lag time just to give you a chance to adjust the cook time and the pressure and make sure you've got all of your settings. So there's a few seconds between when you select a program and then when the pot actually turns on and starts to heat up. And then on top of that, the time that you set the pot to cook for doesn't include the time that it takes to come up to pressure. So you'll only see the on message while the pot is heating up and coming to pressure. And then once there's enough steam to seal the pot and it's hot enough, then your time countdown will start. And in the ultimate cookbook, I know we had chatted a little bit about how the books are different. In the ultimate Instant Pot cookbook, I actually added the time that it takes for each recipe to get up to pressure. So when you're, you know, planning your cooking, you have that information and you can see, okay, well,
I'm setting, you know, this chicken recipe for 15 minutes, but it's going to take another 10 minutes for it to actually come to pressure before the cooking program begins.
Yeah, that's a handy feature of your new book, for sure. Bonnie, thank you so much again for calling. Let's go to Mandy in Waukesha. Mandy, hi.
Hi there. Hi, thanks for taking my call. My main question is that, by the way, I love my Instant Pot. It's been great to have. I do a lot of soups in there, but I've also experimented with yogurts, and I often get, or at the times that I've tried, the flavor from whatever soup I was cooking, I think cumin, onion maybe, gets imparted in my yogurt, and I've tried different ways to clean it, and I was just wondering if you had any tips on cleaning it. I assume it's probably coming from the plastic ring.
It's from the rim. Yeah, that ring, I bet.
Yeah, it's hard to clean it.
Coco, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree that that sealing ring does tend to hold odors, and it can be a little bit tricky to get those out. I know some people recommend boiling water in the pot with a little bit of baking soda and letting it come to pressure and release, or just soaking the sealing ring in a baking soda and water solution overnight or for a few hours. What I do, first off, when I make yogurt, I tend to cover whatever vessel I'm using in the pot, whether it's some wide mouth mason jars or a big Pyrex container. I'll cover it with Saran wrap or with a lid, and that does help keep the odors from getting from mm-hmm. the sealing ring and into your yogurt. But also, I tend to keep two sealing rings on hand. So if I'm doing something like yogurt or a dessert, then I'll switch out and use the sealing ring that I have that hasn't retained, like the spices from the chili that I made last night.
I usually I've tried different things too. I put vinegar and water together and just brought it up to a boil, and that helped a bit. But I just stick the cover in the dishwasher.
That's a great way to go. While the housing part of the Instant Pot isn't dishwasher safe, the lid absolutely is. So you can just chuck that in the dishwasher when you're done.
How hard is it? Now, I have not purchased yet a second ring. How hard is it to take that in and put it in and take it out?
Oh, it's not hard at all. They're pretty sturdy little things, so it'll just pop right out. There's like a wire metal enclosure around the inner rim of the pot, and you can really easily just pull that silicone ring right out. I do that pretty often just to get in there and clean the pot, so I'll take out the silicone ring and kind of scrub that with a soapy sponge and then scrub the whole lid of the pot. And you can also just pop the pressure release valve right off. It kind of sits there not super secure. It's meant to rock back and forth, and you can also take that off and clean it and put it back on.
Mandy, does this all help?
Yeah, it does. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. By the way, you can join in too. The number to call 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Have some open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Judy in Milwaukee next. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I just have a quick question. I've always been confused when they say natural release, whether what you're supposed to do is when the cooking time is done, where you turn it off and then let it natural release, or whether you can just leave it in that warm mode and it'll still natural release?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the keep warm mode is designed to kick in once the food has cooled down to about 140 or 150 degrees, so right in that safe zone where it's not going to harbor bacteria. So you can absolutely just leave the pot on in the keep warm mode once the food is finished cooking, and it'll cool down just as fast as if you had unplugged the pot. And also for anyone who hasn't heard those terms before, a quick pressure release or a quick release is when you're able to safely release the pressure on the Instant Pot right when the food is done cooking. For something that doesn't have a lot of liquid, like steamed vegetables, or for something that doesn't expand during cooking, you can easily just release the steam right when the pot is still hot, and it'll be totally safe. And then for recipes with foods that expand or foam, so like a bean or applesauce, things that would tend to foam, you want to wait and let the pot release all of the pressure completely on its own. And that's called a natural release, or a natural pressure release.
And you point out in your cookbook when to do, you know, when you can do the quick release and when it's best not to.
Yeah. There are a few helpful articles in the book, in the intro, and also in the back. So you'll get information about, when to release the pressure naturally versus quickly, how to work with tricky ingredients like frozen meats, or sometimes tomato products and dairy require some special tips and tricks. So I definitely try to include lots of helpful information for pressure cooker beginners.
You know, I had a friend who we got over to her place, and she said, "Well, you want to stay for dinner?" I said, "Sure." And so she pulled a roast out of the freezer and put it in the pot, and some other things, and voila, not all that long later we had a really good roast. And then I've read in some places where it says it's not a good idea to use put a frozen roast in. What are your thoughts on that?
I think if you have something that's really big, like a 4-pound pot roast, and it's in a frozen solid block, it's going to be difficult to get it to cook through evenly if you're starting it in the pot straight from frozen. Just like if you were to put it in a Dutch oven and throw it in the oven that way, it'll just take a long time for the heat to penetrate to the middle of the roast and cook it through without the outside becoming tough and stringy. So for working with frozen meat, I actually have a whole post about it on my Lefty Spoon blog, but I will often freeze meat cut into small pieces, or if I freeze ground meat, I'll kind of pack it flat in a freezer bag, so that way it defrosts really quickly in the fridge, or I can throw it in the Instant Pot that way, and it'll cook more evenly than if it was in a giant hunk. But I'm impressed with your friend. I want to know what recipe she used.
Oh, it was really good. I'll have to ask her. Well, and the roast, it was, it wasn't a big, it was probably, a couple pounds or something, 2.5 pounds.
Yeah, that's easier to get away with for sure.
Yeah, it was really good. Randy in Wisconsin Rapids, your turn. Hi, Randy.
Hi. We received a pressure cooker as a gift 2 years ago.
Yep.
In my wife's afraid of it, and I'm not sure what to do with it. Now, I do have a little bit of experience with a regular pressure cooker. I canned some venison here a couple of weeks ago. But what would be a good, easy first-time item to pressure cook for a meal if you're a beginner?
And this is one of the electric ones you're talking about, Randy, the new one that you've got.
Well, yeah, it's probably about 5 years old, I suppose. I have no idea what a instant cooker is you're talking about. But.
All right. Well, what do you think, Coco?
I think there are some, first off, you could start with some basics. Like you could try, making hard-boiled eggs, like Larry was saying. I think that was producer Jill's favorite. or you could go for a recipe that has very few ingredients and is just more about testing out the pot and seeing how it works. So if you go online and you look for something called salsa chicken, and you search either pressure cooker salsa chicken or instant pot salsa chicken, basically you're just throwing chicken breasts in a jar of salsa into the pot, and it's kind of like magic. You can end up making this like yummy shredded meat that's really good for putting in burritos or tacos or on a tostada salad. And also, I would say just get familiar with how it works. So try heating up a cup or two of water in the pot and watching it seal and then trying to release the pressure just so you kind of get the hang of how it works, how it heats up and cools down.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, and just simple Randy mac and cheese, too, if you want to do some. Mac and cheese is a pretty easy one to start with, too. Pretty much everybody likes mac and cheese, or most people like mac and cheese, so that'd be another one. But I like the idea of just starting, you know, just try it out with some water. You know, put some water in there and just see how it works, and you could go right from the water to your chicken or your mac and cheese after you dump the water out.
Yeah, for sure. And Instant Pot actually has instructions for a water test on their website, too.
And you have, as long as we're talking about recipes, you have given us one of the recipes from your book, your new book, Porcupine Meatballs.
Yeah, I love those. So, the original porcupine meatball recipe was from a 1950s Betty Crocker publication. So this is a version that's kind of adapted for modern use in the Instant Pot, and it's retro, but it's really good. I think it's one of those ones that holds up, that stood the test of time. So they're called porcupine meatballs because, if you don't know, it's a meatball that's cooked with rice. So you mix uncooked rice with the ground beef along with some onions and garlic. And when the meatballs cook in their tomato sauce, the little grains of rice kind of expand and poke out of the meatballs. So they look like little porcupines when they're done.
I haven't made that one yet, but I'm going to make it. And the recipe is up on our website, wpr.org/Larry. Go to WPR.org/Larry, and the porcupine meatballs recipe from Coco's book, The Ultimate Instant Pot Cookbook, is available. She's giving us to try out. So, Randy, you could even look at that online. That might be a little more. I would try that second after you do the mac and cheese or the chicken.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion, Larry.
All right, well, let's go to Carolyn in Milwaukee. Your turn.
Well, hi. It is wonderful to be on your show. I just admire you a lot and love your show. My son and I listen all the time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's interesting that Randy mentioned his wife is afraid of the Instant Pot. I, too, got an Instant Pot as a gift last Christmas, or the Christmas before this 2017. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid of it for a long time. But that was mostly because, as a newlywed, like over 20 years, I mean 40 years ago, I got a pressure cooker. And I was always terrified because of horror stories my mother and others would tell me about, better watch that pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. So I finally broke out the Instant Pot, and I love it. Now, I like to make Korean foods in there. There are many recipes online for Korean foods. But my problem is I just try to make rice, to get a nice big pot of rice, and I cannot do that. It doesn't turn out. It's either overcooked and slightly burnt on the bottom, undercooked, and I'm wondering what I might be doing wrong.
Let's see. So, yeah, rice and grains, they do come out with a slightly different texture when they cook under pressure, but it is definitely possible to cook them well without them being over or undercooked. So one thing I would say, let's see, I find that if you're just cooking the rice directly in the pot itself, like without another bowl or accessory, you'll want to cook at least 1.5 cups of the grain. Because if you might have noticed this already, the bottom of the pot, of the Instant Pot, the inner pot itself, is actually a little bit convex. So the sides of the pot are a little bit lower than the middle. So you'll find that if you cook really small amounts of grains, like a cup, they'll tend to dry out in the middle while the rice around the sides might get cooked or overcooked in that time. So I would say either use a cup and a half or more of rice Or go ahead and put your wire metal rack inside the pot, pour a cup of water in, and then put a bowl on top of that. And you can cook rice and water directly in that if you're making a smaller batch. That's actually what I do most often, since it's just my husband and I, so I don't usually cook really big batches of greens. So I'll do a 1-to-1 ratio of water to rice just about every time. And that works for white rice as well as brown rice. And then depending on the consistency you like, you might find that 1-to-1 is a little bit more firm than you like, so you could kind of experiment and try adding an extra quarter cup of water or so, seeing how that goes for you. And then likewise, the amount of time that you set the pot for is going to affect how firm or soft the greens are. So like for a brown rice, which is what I cook most often, 20 minutes will yield really firm grains, whereas 25, they'll be a little bit softer.
And what kind of bowl can you use in the Instant Pot?
Anything that is stainless steel, there's a brand called Volrath, V-O-L-L-R-A-T-H, and they make a lot of kind of restaurant back of the kitchen quality utensils and bowls and things like that. So I love their 1.5-quart stainless steel bowls for using in the Instant Pot. They fit perfectly, and they have a thinner version that's like $5 or $6, and then they have a thicker one that I think is around $12 or $14, and they're both available on Amazon, and either one works great.
We've got maybe a minute or so left. I'm enjoying your new book, The Ultimate Instant Pot Cookbook. Your blog, leftyspoon.com, tell us about that.
Sure. On my blog is where I kind of get to use that as my play space and you know, share recipes that I've come up with that don't necessarily have a spot in any of the books. At the end of this month, I'm actually, if you can believe it, I'm releasing a third cookbook.
Oh, no.
So the Essential Vegan Instant Pot Cookbook is currently available for pre-order on Amazon. And it'll be everywhere books are sold on February 26th. So if you go over to leftyspoon.com, I chat a little bit about that book, and I also recently found this awesome method for making vegan yogurt using just 2 ingredients from the grocery store. So things like that wouldn't necessarily end up in a book, I'll put over on the blog.
Well, Coco, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for being with us, and hopefully we'll get you back next time you've got a book out.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Coco Maranti is a recipe developer, food blogger. She runs the popular Instant Pot Recipes Facebook page. She authors the blog leftyspoon.com, and her latest book is The Ultimate Instant Pot Cookbook. I have it, used it, and there's some good recipes in there for sure. Well, Instant Pot, that's probably kind of a new term. It's a new word from the last few years that's really gotten into heavy use, and we're going to be talking about words next with Grant Barrett and Martha Barnett from the very popular Away with Words. And we'll talk about Away with Wisconsin words next, right here on the Ideas Network.